And joining us now on Jewish Community Radio is Israel's Mr. Basketball, Tal Brody. Tal is...
Hi, how you doing, Fred?
Tal, fantastic to have you on here. In Israel, you are known as Mr. Basketball. What a title.
Well, I didn't put that title on. I worked hard that our team could succeed. And actually, we're in another European season, and we just got our first home victory over Partizan Belgrade. And our team, I think we're going to have a pretty good team this year. We have Jordan Farmer that joined us since the NBA is on strike, and John Shire that played with Duke, and Hendricks that played with the University of Alabama. It's his second season with us, and we got some very good Israeli basketball players. And so I think we'll have a team that'll be able to compete again, and we hope to bring back our sixth European basketball championship to Israel.
That's fantastic. I know it's a big honor in Israel. You are the all-star as far as basketball. But tell us about the Israeli Basketball League. I mean, I know that in Israel, NBA is big, but you really don't hear a lot about Israeli basketball. So what's happening in Israel?
First of all, last year, our team came in second in Europe, but our women's basketball team, for the first time, won the Women's European Basketball Championship. And Shay Daron was playing on that team that played with the New York Liberty. She was the first girl that made the WNBA. She played with Maryland. As we have our first guy in the NBA, Omer Caspi, that's going to be near you in Cleveland this year. Or no, you're in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you're going to have Omer Caspi with you, and you already have Anthony Parker that played with us, and we won two European championships with him. And to show you how big basketball is in Israel, I think we're one of the few teams, if not the only team, that brings, when you have a European Final Four, between 5,000 to 7,000 fans from Israel, whether it's in France, whether it's in Spain or Italy or in Yugoslavia or Czechoslovakia, wherever the finals of the European championships are, you'll see that 5,000 to 7,000 Israelis supporting our team and going there. And as I said, we won five European championships, but we're already 13 or 14 times in the finals. And we're the only team outside of the United States that was honored in the James Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield, Massachusetts. By the way, I was really excited. A month ago, I was in Cincinnati, and I spoke at the JNF National Conference there, and I met my hero, Oscar Robertson, was at that dinner, and I met him and his wife were there, and it was a really exciting moment for me.
Now, you were, speaking of the NBA, you were actually drafted to the NBA, and you turned him down.
Well, the NBA in 1965 is not the NBA of today, where you have 30 teams. At that time, there are 9 teams in the NBA. Yeah, minimum salary was $12,000. Today, it's $470,000. The average salary of an NBA player at that time was probably about $40,000 or $50,000. No, even less. And the average salary today is close to $5 million. And I think if you compare Wilt Chamberlain about during my time that was making maybe $120,000 at the most or $130,000 a year, compare him to Shaquille O'Neal that was on the bench last year with Boston playing 15 minutes, he probably got that every second that he was sitting on the bench.
Wow.
So it was a different ball game. And so when I went to Israel for the Maccabean Games, even though I was drafted 12th or 13th in the NBA draft at that time, when I went to Israel and touring around and we won the gold medal in the Maccabean Games, and I saw that, you know, by touring that I'm part of this history and part of this culture and part of this religion, and then Maccabi Tel Aviv, which was a team that never got past the first round of the European Basketball Championships, came to me with the Ministry of Education and Sport and said, look, Tal, if you come to Israel, you can maybe take us to a different level. And, you know, this country's going through a recession, and at that time, we had a lot of boycotts on Israel, and you could put a lot of smiles on people's faces here, and it was challenging, and as I said, I felt part of this country, and I said, I'll take a year out of my life. I told Baltimore, which I thought, which was loaded at guards at that time, I told them I'd take a year, I'm going to go to Israel and see if I could take this team to a different level in basketball. And by the way, we not only got past the first round, we went to the finals of the European Cup Championships, but we lost to a very good team from Italy, Ignis Ferreza. But it changed the whole scene of sport in Israel. As the Prime Minister, Levi Eshkol at the time, came to the games, the defense ministers, it came to be that Israel took over soccer, which is the most popular sport in Europe, as the number one sport, and the hardest thing to get in Israel was a ticket to a basketball game, which even up to today, when our 5,000-seat stadium was changed now to today, we have 11,000-seat stadium, and hope when the NBA makes a European division that there's a very good chance that Israel is going to be one of the 5-6 teams that are going to be in the European division of the NBA.
That's fantastic. And we're speaking here with Tal Brody, Mr. Basketball in Israel. Now, Tal, let me ask this question. I mean, let's put some perspective here, okay, first. You're talking about 11,000 seats in Israel. You're talking about, in comparison, that would be like 100,000 seats in the United States. Because Israel is much smaller.
How many?
It's got to be, in perspective, at least a couple hundred thousand. 11,000 people going to one game in Israel is an incredible number, percentage-wise of population.
Well, in relation to the United States, you have to multiply it by about 50.
Okay.
You know, if you think about Israel's 7.5 million people today in relation to 300 million in the States today?
Plus. Yeah, what? So way more than that.
Like
yeah.
That, so
it's like having, you know, a 500,000 people in comparison to a game. In Israel, basketball is, I mean, let's face it, basketball and soccer are king.
Well, yes, soccer has always been the most popular sport in Europe, but because of our success in basketball, as I say, we're playing Real Madrid this Thursday here in Israel, of Spain, Real Madrid of Spain. You can't get a ticket. You know, I got so many people calling me for a ticket, I don't even answer the phone. I'm lucky I answer the phone when you called. You know, my wife answered, because people just are looking for tickets. You can't believe, even though that we have the Grad rockets falling in southern Israel, 30 rockets fell on three of our major cities, Beersheba, Ashkelon, and Ashdod. We have 200,000 children that are not in school, and you see that the basketball games are going on, you know, and Thursday we're going to have a game against Real Madrid, no tickets available, and you have 11,000. When you see when Dr. J and Rick Barry were in Israel, they said they'd never been at a basketball game where the crowd was so enthusiastic and loud and cheering for the team as they saw in our Final Four in Israel.
We have a great question. When you're in Europe and you're playing and you see Israeli flags waving in the audience. Now, it's different in the United States. In the U.S., of course, you're playing in another city in the U.S., but in Europe, you're traveling across borders. There's got to be a lot of nationalistic enthusiasm when you see the Israeli sports fans and fans of Israel cheering on with the Israeli flag flying in the air.
Definitely, it gives our team a lot of inspiration, but not only in Europe. When we played New York Knicks 2 years ago, so I did the promo with Isaiah Thomas. And so we had the press conference. I said, Isaiah Thomas, you know, don't be disappointed if in Madison Square Garden you're going to have 18,600 people cheering for Maccabi Tel Aviv against the New York Knicks. Anyway, he said that, look, not too many people were cheering for the Knicks at that period of time, but did say something very nice. He said when he was in Israel, he was here with Bob Davison, one of the owners of the Detroit Pistons. So he said that they put a note into the Wailing Wall, the Western Wall in Jerusalem, and he wished that they can take an NBA championship. And he said that when they came back to the States the next 2 years, the Detroit Pistons won two straight national basketball championships. So, and that game, we had 18,600 fans waving Israeli flags in Madison Square Garden cheering for Maccabi Tel Aviv. And just like I said at the press conference with him, but he wasn't surprised. But it was a great game. We lost to the New York Knicks, but it was a great game. Last summer, Amir Stoudemire was in Israel. I was very happy to meet him here. And then I saw him again when I was on a mission of public diplomacy in New York. And I went to the game with our consul general, our new consul general in New York, and we enjoyed seeing him after the game, and he really loves Israel.
And we're speaking here with Tal Brody from Maccabi Tel Aviv, the Mr. Basketball in Israel. And Tal, let me ask this question. I want to change track here a second. You went from Trenton, New Jersey to Israel.
University of Illinois called them, first of all.
But still, that must have been a culture shock going from the U.S. to Israel and picking up and leaving, making Aliyah, moving to Israel. What was it like then, and How is it today different? I'm curious for people who want to move to Israel.
At that time, it was very different. We didn't have Chinese restaurants, which we had, and Japanese restaurants, and good Italian restaurants. And basically, at that time, we only ate chicken. The chicken was the main meal twice a day, sometimes three times a day. But today, everything is different. At that time, it was a shock culturally, yes, because in Illinois, we played gymnasium. We had over 16,000 people a game. And then I came to Israel. We had a nice stadium. It was outdoors. Sometimes the games were rained out. Some of the times you had to judge your shot with the wind, or you had a dust storm. And the conditions were very different. But as I said, I came as a purpose. I took to take this challenge and to bring the Israeli basketball to a different level. And I'm very proud to have that ride to see what we've been doing all those years and what we accomplished. And as I said, if we came in to a situation where our girls' basketball last year took the first place in Europe, and our men's team and our team, Maccabi Tel Aviv, took the second place. We lost in the finals to a very good Greek team. So I think it's a great honor for Israel, which probably most of the people in Cleveland never realize, you know, that the only thing you see is Hamas and Hezbollah, Ahmadinejad, and rockets flying in and out. But Israel's a wonderful country, and it's a fun country, and it's a beautiful place to live and raise a family. And I'm 45 years here already, which flew by, never a dull moment.
It's interesting. You mentioned about the vision of Israel in the media. And you're right. Israel is not just what you see in the news. There's so much more. And in fact, I tell people that you don't see much of what you see in the TV. There's just normal everyday life. People, you know, houses, kids go to school. Of course, there are times where you have problems like we have right now. But for the most part, Israel is a wonderful place to live, and great technology and research being done, and it's a great family location too.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, still last week, I was at the swimming pool with my children and grandchildren and on the beach, and all of a sudden, yesterday I turned on the news in New York, it got an unbelievable snowstorm and cold. But family life and a social life, you see your children here, and you see, you know, your family is getting together more, and you see your friends more, and you got a great outdoor life in the cafes. And their cultural life is full. You have your theaters, you got your plays, you have traveling, and you got all these Jewish National Fund parks, what they call Keren Kayemet here, that are full every weekend, and picnics and waterways and forests. And it's very different. And the only people that realize it are people that have been to Israel. You know, I also hosted the NBA legend all-star team with Allen Houston and a lot of veterans, even some from the Globetrotters and most of the guys from New York Knicks. And these guys were shocked when they first came to Israel. First of all, who was the first person that they met that wanted to meet them? They said, wow, the president of Israel, Shimon Peres, wants to meet the NBA all-star team. So they really learned how popular sport in Israel. That's why you probably don't hear it there, but we're called probably as one of the sports capital of the Middle East. You know, I mean, I'm sure you have a lot of other titles, what you always hear on the campuses and everything else, but that's you have to divide between the fact and the fiction.
Well, you know, also speaking of sports capital, everybody thinks about, oh, you have Americans playing for in Israel and the like, but now we have Omri Kasby in Cleveland. You also have even soccer. Ben Ayoun is a big star in Europe, and you have I believe one of the team owners in soccer in England is from Israel. So you have a lot of sports coming in and out of Israel. And in Cleveland, we have a star here, someone who I know the family of, Tamir Goodman, who was dubbed the Jewish Jordan by Sports Illustrated.
Right. Well, basketball is an international game, and David Stern in the NBA, commissioner of the NBA, really developed the globalization. You know, you have about, over 70 foreign basketball players playing in the NBA, and in Europe you have every team, you have foreign, let's say not foreign, you have American ball players or people from the European common market, and Tamir played in Israel until he got injured, and everybody loved him in Israel, really nice guy. And that's the globalization. You can, if you need to fix your refrigerator and you call on the phone, you get somebody from India, answering and trying to give you an explanation how to fix your refrigerator. So that's the world today, you know, and Israel goes how the world goes. So we have international people from sports playing in Israel, and then again we have our coach of Maccabi Tel Aviv. He's the national coach of national team in Russia. We have Israeli coaches in Czechoslovakia and Belgium. And we have players, girls and guys, going to the States to play in the colleges. And we're a small country, but we contribute, and as you said, in technology and medicine. We just won a 10th Nobel Prize, Professor Shechtman in the Technion in Haifa. And I'm very proud. Everybody that's in this country was very proud to hear that we received another Nobel Prize. But people only see it when they come visit Israel. And if they get over that fear the first time and they make that trip to Israel and they see what a beautiful country and a beautiful life you can lead here, they always want to come back the second and third time. So, I mean, we're very lucky today that the Christian community is standing beside the Jewish community when people try to boycott the malls or something, when they say, don't buy Israeli goods. So the Christian community and the Jewish community is standing up and saying, buy Israeli goods. And I hosted John Hagee here for his 70th birthday. He made a nice contribution to the one of our youth villages in Israel. And so when you come visit Israel, you always want to come back for the second and third time.
It's an incredible place. One of my favorite cities is Kedumim, up in the hills. Wonderful in the Shomron. I love it there. But one person who moves to Cleveland used to be on your team from the Maccabi Tel Aviv, Omri Kaspi. So, of course, right now we have the lockout, so I can't really get him on. But tell us, you know Omri better than almost anybody.
Yes, he came up through our youth team, and we're all proud of him. And we saw his development over the years, and the fact that he was drafted and chosen by Sacramento is a big honor for him and a big honor for Israel. And now he's going to be with Cleveland, teaming up with Anthony Parker. And Anthony Parker was, everybody loved him in Israel. He, as I said, that we won two European championships with him, and he's such a fine guy. And he's coming back and forth. He's visiting Israel. And the fact that Omri is going to, I think he's going to get a chance to play more. I saw him in the 2 years ago in the rookie game against the sophomores, and when the game was in Dallas, and he deserved to be on the floor. He runs the floor well. He's a fighter. He's a hustler. He improved his shot. He plays good defense. He steals the ball. And I think the people in Cleveland are going to enjoy him. As I said, we're proud of him here, and he deserves this place to be in the NBA and to be on the floor playing.
Seems like a nice guy. I've seen one interview with him, and I look forward to having him here. But let me ask this question. He's going to be here. Are you going to come visit Cleveland when he's playing?
Well, there's a good chance. I don't know if it'll be the same time when he's playing, but there's a good chance that I'll be in Cleveland in that area for speaking on the campuses. And as I said, I was in Cincinnati for the JNF National Conference there and enjoyed it very much.
Well, I hope you do come to Cleveland.
Well, I hope so. I've never been there. You know, I played in the Big Ten with Illinois, but we played against Ohio State, and we had great games during that period of time.
Well, if you make it here to Cleveland, give me a call. I owe you a cup of coffee at the very least. It'd be great to sit down with you. And hopefully,
well, if you come to Israel, I'll give you good Turkish coffee.
Oh, you got a deal. I love it. And you know, but good question. Right now, you live in where do you live? Herzliya?
Yes.
Okay.
Herzliya, and Netanya, and Tel Aviv.
You live everywhere.
Well, business and living and enjoying life.
That's wonderful. I appreciate you coming on. I got to get going here, but Tal, it's been a pleasure having you on Jewish Community Radio here in Cleveland, and look forward to hearing great news about sports in Israel and Israel in general, and hopefully you come into Cleveland, we'll sit down for a cup of coffee, and I'm going to have to get a hold of Omri and get him on here.
Well, if I see him, I'll tell him.
Please do.
And he's a good guy, and he'll come on the program. And he could be, if there's still going to be a lockout, I think he's going to be, because our team is already, you know, overloaded with players, you know, and our season started. But I think if there's still going to be a lockout, he might play for a while with the French team until if there's going to be an NBA season, then he'll go back. but the French team wants him, and so there's a good chance he might be playing in France until he goes back to the States.
Incredible. So, Tal, thank you for coming on the show today.
Okay, thank you, Fred.
Thank you
for calling.
Thank you. Take care.